it's a little bit different flavor for every estuary and every system in South Florida, including the Everglades.
Stephen Davis is a scientist with the Everglades Foundation. His office sits in the former headquarters of Burger King, overlooking the clear waters of Miami's Biscayne Bay. Earlier in the year, those pristine waters looked more like a green cesspool, and they smelled equally as bad. The Florida Department of Health put up advisory notices telling people to stay away. The cause of the algae bloom that enveloped the bay, described as one of the worst the waterway has seen, is still unknown. Davis says the answer could lie with Central Florida's Lake Okeechobee and the network of canals and dams that run throughout Central and South Florida in order to make the area habitable for humans.
We're discharging large volumes of water down the Caloosahatchee and St. Lucie. That water is polluted, so that creates two problems. One, it's too much fresh water for those estuaries, but it's also too much polluted water as well that leads to algae blooms. But in the Everglades, it's a lack of fresh water, and what fresh water it does receive is polluted.
Many of the water bodies that saw the worst algae blooms this summer originate at a single source, Lake Okeechobee. The Caloosahatchee and St. Lucie rivers run to the east and west of the lake. Both saw algae blooms. And the St. Johns River, which flows north from Lake O to Jacksonville, also experienced a bloom so toxic the Florida Department of Health issued advisories.
Said it's all streaked out behind NAS Jacks.
With no wind this morning, the current's going to pile it up more than the wind will.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. See you
Even
later.
Today, there are signs of algae spotting the St. Johns River. While touring the river with St. Johns Riverkeeper Lisa Renneman, we see a man walk off his dock and dump something into the water. Renneman says humans, or more importantly, human waste, are a big part of what's ailing the St. Johns. That waste comes from some 16,000 septic tanks along the riverbanks, many which are failing.
And that's been a major issue that we're actually not happy with the city of Jacksonville right now, because they're diverting millions and millions of dollars away from phasing out septic tanks on our waterways to actually buying water quality trading credits.
Much of the pollution reduction work in Duval County has fallen to the county's waste management program called JEA. The utility has met and surpassed its reduction goals, allowing it to sell credits to other groups trying to do the same. The city of Jacksonville has purchased some of those credits to count toward its goals. It's also trying to get rid of those failing septic tanks along the river. But decreasing the amount of pollution in the St. Johns, says City of Jacksonville Director of Public Works Jim Robinson, isn't just a matter of cleaning up the nearby water.
Over 60% of the nitrogen loading that is in the river here in Jacksonville is from upstream.
Because the river flows north.
That's right. We start with 60% bad when it gets here. And so it very much is more than just a local issue. It's a state issue.
The St. Johns River got lucky this year, although luck in this case is relative. Unlike previous years, there were no massive animal die-offs from the algae. However, that's not the case for Central Florida's Indian River Lagoon, an offshoot of the St. Lucie River.
100% of them. All of them died.
Florida Oceanographic Society scientist Vincent Encomio says all of the St. Lucie River oysters have died. The Indian River Lagoon is east of Lake Okeechobee, cushioned between the city of Stewart and the Atlantic Ocean. Resort hotels and coastal homes line Hutchison Island, where tourism is the local economy. It's also where the Florida Oceanographic Society is located. And this summer's algae blooms were a big, big problem, says Society spokeswoman Megan Roberts.
In Stewart, especially, we're considering this the lost summer. I mean, the water had been deemed toxic by the Martin County Health Department for 5 months. Signs went up all over the boat ramps, all over the waterways where people would swim and recreate and enjoy what brings us to this area. It was toxic. Do not come in contact with the water. People were experiencing rashes and sickness, kind of like flu, lung irritation, things like that.
Society researchers are now trying to rebuild the decimated oyster beds by collecting shells from nearby seafood restaurants. On the pathway down to the river, there are three massive piles of empty shells, and they smell like the rotting seafood they are.
Yes. See, this is, so we have these tables.
Encomio explains there are more than 140 acres of habitat to replant, and the piles of empty oyster shells are just a drop in the river.
But we probably are getting into several hundred square feet of reef, for sure, yeah.
The causes of excess phosphorus and nitrogen in the water bodies vary, but the summer of 2014 was bad enough to catch lawmakers' attention. Among them, Republican Senator Joe Negron, whose home district is in Stewart.
I like to be able to vote for or against people who can raise my taxes or lower my taxes, who can make decisions that affect my life, and who can decide when to flood my community with water.
Throughout the summer, Negron and other state lawmakers held a series of meetings to address Florida's water quality problems, many which stem from the polluted Lake Okeechobee discharges. In November, the senator unveiled a $220 million list of projects, including asking the federal government to give Florida control of the Lake Okeechobee discharges and restoring natural water flow routes through central and south Florida.
You know, my message to the Treasure Coast in southwest Florida is that more help is on the way.
But that plan will have to compete with others for funding. And by the March start of the 2014 legislative session, Florida's 2013 summer woes will be nearly a year old and may not be top of the mind for the lawmakers Negron hopes will wake up and smell the oysters. For WFSU News, I'm Lynn Hatter.